Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Just once in a decade, in a lifetime maybe, the world of entertainment is disrupted and utterly elated by something entirely new.
Good Lord!
And now for something completely different.
Good morning, good afternoon, good dawn, good dusk, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to, well, the Just When You Thought You'd Had Enough Guerrilla Cricket Podcasts podcast. What, I hear you ask, is that? Well, it's completely unscripted. It's completely unplanned. It's three of us sitting in our various parts of London. We still don't quite know where Not Fred lives. But you've got me in South Wimbledon. You've got Grubby down the road in Tooting. And where are you, Not Fred? Are you going to reveal all finally?
All I'll tell you, it's light for another 3 hours.
Oh, where could you be? My goodness me. Now, well, I say it's completely unscripted, but of course, there has to be a kind of a script or a little bit of, you know, something to prompt you, I suppose. Now, one thing that struck me as curious today, and you may have seen this, in the last few days, is that bizarrely, there is a bank advertising at the moment, and on it, they have gorillas playing cricket. Now, is that remarkable? And if it's not remarkable, can you think of a more remarkable cricket-based advert?
Well, I think we need to approach them. Our marketing team need to get onto them forthwith. See if we can have a strategic tie-up.
We should bring
in our marketing expert, who's the third of our triumvirate here today. You haven't introduced anyone, have you?
Was I supposed to do that? Well, of course, I'm Gorilla Hendo. Everyone knows me. And beneath me on the screen, although you may not be able to see this because it's a podcast, is Grubby, whose beard is getting sort of commensurate length with the top of his head. It's extraordinary.
You could stuff an enormous small mattress with that.
You could. It's absolutely incredible. But he looks very relaxed and very happy. And then on sort of above
Grubby. That'll be the gin.
Grubby, that'll be the gin, yeah. Well, it has to be. Above him is the man they love to hate, the 600-pound man-child. It is indeed none other than Not Fred Titmuss.
I thought Ditch was in the room. Sorry.
Oh, no. Sorry, it's you. Have you got a mountain of tacos in front of you?
No, I haven't, actually, and I haven't even got a drink to hand.
I have.
I've worked this out very badly, so we'll have to have a break at some point. Refreshments. I have not seen this advert in question.
I don't want to mention who it's by, because, I mean, Grubby is a marketing and an advertising expert, so he must be on the ball with this one. This one?
I could indeed tell you who it was, but given that I work for a rival bank in their marketing department, I probably shouldn't. But thinking of other cricket commercials, another one springs to mind for another bank, which is known in this country for long-term sponsorship of various competitions. And you'll remember, or perhaps you won't, but maybe I'll jog your memory, that they employed the services of one Michel Vaughan not too long after he retired. And they put him undercover, didn't they? The undercover club cricketer.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, and I do. Yes.
Not that this is quiz night tonight, but I will give either of you 2 points if you can remember the pseudonym, the name that they gave to the Michael Vaughan character. You remember he wore all the rubbery face and the nose and everything, and I think he scored about 28.
Yes.
Looked really good, and then nicked off behind. So it didn't quite work.
Yeah, and he had this terrible long hair, didn't he? It was like sort of a really bad Australian mullet.
Well, I never saw this advert, but it sounds perilously like a Jeremy Beadle stunt. I mean, that's how bad it sounds.
It was like that a bit.
Well, I'm a bit worried about you, Fred. You know, a man who professes to know so much about the world that you have not seen either of these adverts.
I'm not much of an ad man, to be honest.
You don't watch telly, do you?
Even during this lockdown, I don't think I've watched any television that postdates around 1988.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm watching like The Sweeney and Minder and the occasional Professionals.
I always thought that when they show those programmes, they should show the ads that were happening
accompanied
at the time.
Yeah.
So you could have Heineken reaches the parts other beers cannot reach, which is obviously
still going, isn't it though?
No, it's illegal to say that now because you can't suggest that consuming alcohol makes you more successful or more sexually appealing or anything like that.
Even though we all know it does.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
you're not allowed to tell the truth in advertising.
If I didn't have alcohol, neither of you would be sexually attractive to me.
But since I have,
and as you can see, I've got various pairs of goggles on. Actually, I've got 3 pairs of glasses on.
Which ones are the beer ones?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, you don't want to get the wrong one, do you? Because that could cause all sorts of problems. So, yeah.
You want the glasses that make us look slightly less attractive than we are in reality, so that if you do make a clumsy lunge, at least your expectations will be met.
I suppose clumsy lunges.
Are these gorillas any good at cricket?
Well, actually, what they are is kind of, in a way, a bit like us. They're kind of dressed up as gorillas. I think that the whole point of the advert is that they go to the zoo. So people go to the zoo and they look in and they see basically these guys dressed up as gorillas, and then they start playing cricket. And this is sort of an anti-fraud message, basically. And one of the blokes says at the end, "I auditioned for the otter."
It's quite a good line.
quite funny.
Is it Ian Lomax of the Lancashire Action Group in the Gorilla Mask?
He hasn't actually mentioned that to me. I suppose it could be. I suppose we need to get on to him, really.
He's gone big time.
Has he gone big time?
Obviously, the Lancashire Action Group newsletter is the gateway to greater things in the world of advertising.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Well, let's go back to Michelle Vaughan and his pseudonym in that game. I think it was Lance somebody.
Advance on that?
Advance on Lance?
No point asking, not Freddie.
No, but I thought you called him Michelle Vorm, which was...
Vorm?
Oh, yeah.
New goalkeeper.
Yeah. No, well, I'll reveal all, unless you've got any advance on Lance.
Reveal! Lance.
Yeah, go on, reveal it.
Someone's going to tell me.
Forgotten, haven't he?
I'm pretty sure it's Gary Watson.
Gary Watson. I think it'd be more funny. It would have been much better if it had been Gary Wilson. And if nobody had recognised Gary Wilson, that would have been hilarious.
No, but if Tony was commentating on that game, he would have called him Gary Wilson for the whole game, even though he wasn't actually playing.
Well, he'd probably called him
like he did in Ireland.
Actually, to be fair, which is we shouldn't say about our absent colleagues. What we should say, of course, is while we're doing this particular new podcast, this is just a sort of, it's not an antidote exactly, but we think that the current podcasts that we have are very erudite and very interesting and very serious, and we just thought, well, we would just do something a little bit different, which is us just being us, I suppose.
Yeah, I think people who listen to us regularly like to think that what goes on in the green room is many hours of great conversation. And that's perhaps what we're trying to recreate here. And if we talk for about 6 or 7 hours and then we remove all the libelous bits, we should get about 15 or 20 minutes worth of good copy, I would have thought.
I don't know if it'll be as much as that, to be honest. And to, you know, we'd have to lay into some people, wouldn't we, to be honest?
I've got a little list.
Genuine stuff. Oh, you got a list, haven't you?
I've got a little list, yeah.
Who's on your little list then?
Well, I was going to talk about, we ought to discuss gorilla cricket because that's the reason we all know each other. I don't think we would have probably have met had it not been for gorilla cricket. We don't have any friends in common. Some of us don't have any friends at all. but there have been some occasionally entertaining moments off screen at Gorilla Cricket, or sometimes just slightly behind the screen. Hendo's looking very worried as I mentioned this. But
I am, actually, because I can't remember any of them. I was asleep for most of them.
Well, that's true. And those moments have provided great hilarity. But I'm remembering a time when I was on air with a guest that we had who'd come all the way from India and who joined us on the sofa. And it was in the first series we did from Sydenham. And he was a long-time listener, and he'd come to England, and he joined us on the commentating chairs, and he was enjoying himself. Let's be honest, he was enjoying himself, and he was relaxed, and he was having a drink, and he was having another drink. And before we knew it,
relaxed as a newt.
Before we knew it, he had gone from being vaguely understandable to being completely blind drunk in about 4 minutes.
Did you say before we newt?
Yeah, I was on Ball by Ball at the time. I can't remember if there were three of us on. I think there were. And I was sending frantic text messages to you, Hendo, in the green room saying...
You were.
Save us. Get him off. Do something. Do something. This is getting worse. And I was getting no response whatsoever.
Hendo just looking going, ha, ha, ha. Leave him.
Hendo does not know how to answer his text messages or even to find them. So
I may not have known at that point. I do, of course, know now. Although I have had some interesting technological problems in the last week, I have to say. But there you go. Anyway, carry on.
And it's there's not much of a happy ending or even any sort of a funny ending particularly. But the fact that I put my faith in Hendo into trying to rescue the situation, I've since learned that that was not the thing to do. Get the bear wherever he is, get him to sort it out, and he'll do it in 10 seconds. Don't text Hendo is the motto.
Well,
how did that day wind up then? Because I was listening, actually.
I think he was in a coma by the end of day's end, wasn't he?
Well, the curious thing was, and those of you, I mean, it's not a big secret who is. We won't actually mention him by name because he might listen to this anyway, and yeah. Then he'll probably
for the last time.
For the last time, yes, exactly. He'll be off to Guerrilla Cricket South Africa again, won't he? basically, he was. I tell you, listener, he was drinking from a bottle which I thought was water, and water tends to look somewhat like vodka, and that's what it turned out to be. I don't know. He put away a lot, didn't he, in that morning? Half a bottle or so.
At what point did he fess up that it was vodka?
Oh, I think maybe it's just my stupidity. I don't think that he was trying to hide the fact that it was vodka.
Oh, put it this way, Grubby. It became apparent.
Right. Was it where you were trying to wake him up once he'd gone comatose and someone
caught
a whiff of his open top?
He did sleep it off for many, many, many hours.
Either that, or we went over to say, what is in this tap? And obviously turned it on and thought, this is tremendous. Getting vodka pumped straight to Sydenham, that would be an extraordinary thing.
So Grubby, I think you've spent a little bit less time at Guerrilla Cricket than the two of us.
Although it sometimes feels longer, yeah.
Oh, yes, it does stretch into many, many years. But what were the funny incidents that you can recall that have happened on or off screen? On or off mic over the years?
Well, I still feel like a bit of a newbie sometimes. And then I recall that I made my debut back in 2016. So it's not exactly yesterday.
You're fresh makers are, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you very much. And sometimes I have to be in a certain set of company to get the sort of compliments that I would like. It's like going to my old man's golf club, where he sits there with a load of 80-year-olds and people call me young man.
Nice, young man.
Very, very, very much a similar sort of thing. So anyway, I'd written a piece. I've mentioned this on air about 400 or 500 times, but I'd written a piece in The Independent in which I had talked about my love of commentary, sports commentary generally. And in that, I talked about some of the, what I call the new kids on the block, one of which was Guerrilla. Although at the time, I recall when I wrote it, because I used to listen back in the sofa days, and as far as I knew, when I was writing this piece, it had ceased to be, much like our dead parrot. And so in my extensive research, I did a bit of Googling, I realised that Sofa had become this thing called Guerrilla Cricket. And I thought, praise the Lord, how marvellous. And I wrote this article in praise of you and some other people and tweeted it to you. And then I was doing a bit of work in Barcelona at the time. And I remember getting this direct message back, saying, thanks for the nice mention. You should come in one day. And I thought, yeah, that sounds good.
God, we were desperate. Yes,
yeah, someone you'd never met. Yeah. So I said, yeah. And then I tipped up 24th of June. It was the day after the referendum, which we'll not get into, but it was the day after the referendum, just to pinpoint it in your memory. I tipped up, walked in the what is now the studio, but at the time was the sort of green room, if you like. And there was Bear rolling one of his funny cigarettes on the desk. And he looked at me, a bit bleary-eyed, and I thought, oh, these are not my sort of people. we had a thoroughly lovely day. It was a one-day international against Sri Lanka. My first bit of ball by ball was a wicket.
Oh, first ball.
Plunkett bowled. I should have looked this up before. Was it Matthews? I can't remember. But first ball. So I thought, what a whale of a time. Anyway, it was only sort of months later when I was recounting this story to Bear, among others. And Bear looked at me and he just said, be honest, Grubby, I'd forgotten you were coming in.
That does happen. That does happen quite a lot.
I just thought I was getting a lovely welcome and people could feel they could do whatever they wanted in front of me. I was already welcomed into the bosom, the ample bosom of Gorilla. But no, he just forgotten I was coming.
Well, nowadays the rosters are much more carefully managed. I don't think you'd have slipped through the door without knowing the right passwords.
I do think there is some sort of signal, I think, between, you know, if you are a natural gorilla, if you're part of the tribe, you know, you come in and it's almost like, you know, you just click your fingers and think he'll do or she'll do. And I think we had that sort of feeling with
nobody.
Nobody, no, actually. No, I think we did.
My first stint of ball by ball commentary was actually when we were from the studios in central London under the post office tower, or whatever it's called now. And it was absolute mayhem because there was a chap there who wasn't supposed to be there. Because he was working for another organization at the time.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And he was pretending to be a South American gorilla.
Gorilla.
Gorilla. And he was also wrapped head to toe in green felt because that way he wouldn't show up.
He wouldn't show up
on the green screen. Yeah, it was a good look. I think it's something he should consider for the future.
Had he stolen a small child's Subutio set?
Well, the bear dug it out of somewhere, but it was the green screen background so that he shouldn't appear on either on video as himself or on audio as himself. And he'd had a few, it's fair to say. And I was trying to do my first ever ball-by-ball commentary in this game. And I kept being interrupted by a man who was making a noise that was a cross between Che Guevara and Idi Amin, sitting on my left, who wouldn't let me finish a sentence. And that's pretty much true of every time I've met him since, actually, as well. But it was a baptism by fire, and obviously came through. Otherwise, he wouldn't have asked me back. Or did
you? No, actually, we didn't. To be fair,
turned up again.
To be fair, to be honest, Grubby sort of jumped in and seized the day, really. Whereas you were a bit more surreptitious, weren't you? You sort of used to sort of crawl along and sort of sit outside the jet lag and see if anyone would talk to you. And eventually we had to.
Not quite, because some of the people were sort of friends, and we had some friends in common. And we used to meet up for the occasional post-match drink. I remember sitting there with a guy I didn't really recognise with a big bushy beard. And Norcross was going into this bizarre rant about how Pakistan had pulled somebody out of the leagues to play a test match in England in 1987 or whatever it was, called Ettersham Udin, who opened the bowling. He was about 17 stone and he bowled about 63 miles an hour and he was their opening bowler. And he gave this long, it was a typical Norcroftian story about how terrible he was. And then finally he paused for breath and the bearded little chap in the corner said, "He got me out." It was Graham Fowler.
I was Graham Fowler.
It was great, yeah. And he's not been the same since.
I thought he removed his beard and said, and "I am Ettersham."
No, it wasn't. It was Graham Fowler, who indeed was, I think, LBW to Ettersham for about 15 when he should have been cashing in big time against the lousy attack.
He needs to talk to Gary Watson about that.
Yeah, that's kind of worrying.
He also, when that crazy game Surrey against Lancashire in 1990, I think it was, when sort of 800 played 900 on an absolute road at the Oval, I think Graham Fowler was run out for about 15. So he has, to be fair, missed out on some.
Well, there was, of course, that was a game which Neil Fairbrother got 300 and something, wasn't it?
366, off the top of my head.
366.
Is that the Steve O'Shaughnessy game?
No, Ian Gregg got 291 in response. It was the first game of the season, I think, at the Oval, when they'd reduced the seam on the ball to nothing in 1990, after having had a very proud seam in 1989 and nobody scored a run. 1990 was the year of the bat, and like about I don't know, many, many people scored 2,000 runs in the championship seasons, which gives you some idea of how tough it was for bowlers. But there's been some odd good moments that have happened off camera. And there was one I remember that happened on camera, but I hadn't realised I was on camera. Do you remember we did that game at Lord's? It was a big event for us. We did a charity game between the West Indies and the rest of the world. For some remarkable and abject reason, it has the status of a full T20 international, even though it was a pub game, to be honest.
And they're all big ones.
I wasn't really enjoying it because I thought the whole thing was a bit of a it was a bit fraudulent as far as I was concerned. But it was a big day for Guerrilla Cricket because we were happy to be there, happy to be doing it. And I was on air, and Tony was sitting next to me on jingles, and he rather got lost in his notes, as he can do occasionally. He's fond of doing some preparatory work. And the ball would get hit for four, as it did virtually every ball, and I would finish the sentence waiting for him to play the jingle, and there'd be silence. After a couple of seconds, I'd just carry on and do the next ball. And after about three balls of this, I looked over to him just to see what was going on. And he was buried deep in his notes looking for somebody's highest T20 score at Lord's, you know, in a charity game. And, of course, the next ball went for four again and nothing happened. And I just leaned over behind him and I sort of did that fake thing where you're pretending to throttle somebody because I was getting a little bit frustrated. And as I was doing it, I suddenly remembered, oh, yes, we are on camera as well, aren't we, broadcasting to the world from our commentary box. So it wasn't just a case of, a silent throttle. It was the whole world watching me attempting to...
I bet you got some letters.
Oh, yes. Yes, points of view. Points of view. Barry took. He was overwhelmed.
Why? Can't we have more snooker on TV? But, yes, I am mad.
Well, we would do that now, to be fair. We'd cope with that.
Well, you've reminded me, the Ireland-Pakistan test match, which we go on about ad infinitum because it was very exciting for us as well, being the official audio broadcaster for that inaugural Ireland men's test match at Malahide. I was in the commentary box at one point with Nakul and Atif. And Atif was waxing lyrical about his beloved Pakistan. Just as Mohammed Amir managed to skittle someone, I think he bowled him through the gate, then we served you right. And Atif, who was already in a fairly highly excited state, just in slow motion, someone just knocked something over in slow motion. It was just a little innocent cup of water. But of course, it goes all over the deck laid out in front of us. And we're all sitting there just looking at it going, oh, this is quite amusing. Meanwhile, Bear comes in after about 10 seconds going, fucking mop it up!
Mop it up.
I think we're possibly his exact words. Atif had no interest in mopping anything up other than soaking up the
atmosphere.
That was marvellous. That was my highlight of the test match, really.
Typical guerrilla fashion, if the desk would have exploded then, that would have been quite funny. That would have been end to our inaugural test match.
Well,
the final day. Was it the final day when the thunderstorm came in, or was it the
it was day two, actually.
I think. Was it day two?
Day one was washed out.
Yeah. And then we do we have a truncated day two?
I think that was when the lightning was, because I think the rest of the time it was beautiful weather. Days three and four were absolutely perfect. And five, had Ireland managed to hang on for another maybe 45 minutes or an hour, it might have got rained off. They might have got away with a draw. But it did rain, but it wasn't the thunder that was attacking the press box.
Well, people don't realise that most of us left the box that we were in, which is over the other side of the field from where the main press were assembled. And we'd all gone running and to take shelter in that. And the poor old Bear was sitting there on his own, surrounded by metal and electrical equipment.
I just
expected to see an explosion as I was sort of in the distance from over in the Son of the Bear's got. I just see the bear flying through the air.
And, he would have looked down.
It would have landed well.
He would have looked down at his roll up and saying, "Yeah, good shit, this."
What do you mean? Now. Well, let's just move on from that because I don't know if I set you a little task earlier today, and I don't know whether you.
Oh, you did.
I did. Did you see my task and have you carried it out?
Yep.
You have carried.
I have no idea about this task. What task are you talking about?
Oh, you have no idea about this task. I sent you a WhatsApp message telling you to find a tweet of the day, a cricket-related tweet of the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I did see that, but I did ignore it, but I did see
it. You ignored it? Yeah. Oh, right, yeah. Okay, well, in that case, we'll ignore you and we'll go to Grubby. Did you do it?
Well, I've got a couple of offerings here. I've taken your brief at its word and then ignored half of it.
Okay.
So I've looked for a cricket-related story.
Okay.
And because a lot of cricket tweets are a bit earnest. Like, I even went to our good friend Foxy Fowler, and he's doing things like congratulating Piers Morgan on his stance against Trump and stuff like that. And I think that's not what we're going to be talking about today. However, something a bit more lighthearted.
That's the official podcast.
The Jofra Archer story about he's moved house and he temporarily lost his World Cup winners medal.
That's right.
It says the old saying goes that a missing object is always in the last place you look. Well, obviously. Once you found it, it's no point carrying on looking, in my experience. But that's by the by. So he's moved house, and he suddenly thought, oh, where's my medal? Well, I had a sleepless night. And then he did tweet out, this is where it is on Briefhender, there was a tweet that went with it, where he says, randomly searching the guest bedroom, and boom, you weren't randomly searching, were you, Jofra? You were actively seeking. But anyway, and it just made me think of other instances in cricket history where something has gone missing, and you might think of... Steve Waugh's hook shot. Not seen much cutting, after 1993.
Cutting. That is cutting. Well, it's not literally cutting, but that is as a cutting barb from you there.
And Johnny Bairstow's forward defence.
Andrew Flintoff's dignity. 2006.
Denley's ability to keep a bat alongside pad rather than about a foot away from it.
Or to catch a ball.
Yes, I thought you might come up with that one. What other things?
Well, actually, there is a bit of cricket news that has emerged today, which is that Umar Akmal has been given a three-year ban by Pakistan. I know we're verging into serious territory here, but it is Pakistan cricket, so it is laughable. So we can have a laugh about it. But, I mean, if he's got a three-year ban, I mean, you know, he could miss 3 or 4 months.
Yes, that's true.
You know, the average life ban of Pakistan cricket, you know, lasts for about maybe 7 months or something before it's overturned. But is he playing very much? I mean, we haven't got Knackle to run in from next door.
Well, I must have bypassed that tweet. I saw Saj Sadiq of what's the name of that website? Pack Passion, and a lot of tweets from him today, and something about Umar Akmal, as it just sort of passed me by, and I just thought he must be sort of reminiscing. I didn't realise that actually something of, you know, import had happened today.
That time I was mentioned in the theme tune of Guerrilla Cricket.
That's his highlight. That's his career highlight.
It's a bit like it was the FA Cup went missing once, didn't it?
And it was stolen before the 66 World Cup, and it was found by Pickles.
Was it Pickles the dog?
It was a joke very close to both of our hearts from a BBC show that nobody remembers.
Jofra Archer could have come up with a better one. He's found it in his spare room. I mean, he really, you know, if he had any imagination, he would have had a dog walk up to the front door, stand on its hind legs, ring the bell, and have his medal in its mouth, or even round its neck. Maybe that would have been stylish, wouldn't it? I think that, you know, just finding it in his spare room is a bit of an anticlimactic feel for that story. I have to say,
well, he could have made a lot more of that story, couldn't he?
I mean, he could have done
with the finding of the medal. You know, he created a far more interesting narrative around it.
That worries me, though. Does that mean that Jofra Archer is just cricket? You know, if he was a sort of more rounded individual who's you know, seen a bit of life, as they always say, you know, the press always loves someone who's seen a bit of life. Wouldn't that have been better? He would have come up with something a little bit more fun.
No, I should just stick to bowling, mate.
I suppose when you're that good at it, I suppose you can really, can't you? So you didn't look up a tweet then, Fred?
No, but I rescued myself by talking about Umar Akmal. So
okay. In that case,
I was a little bit concerned with Jofra Archer's medal that the bear might have nicked it, because he was at the World Cup final, and when he was leaving, he was sort of looking around for souvenirs, and I was hoping that Jofra Archer's medal wasn't one of them, because that would have been quite embarrassing.
So, but also he had a good opportunity. Story. We've just been watching a bit of Death on the Nile. He had the opportunity, possibly had the motive. We know he's a magpie of a man.
You're using your little grey cells there, Grubby.
Mon ami.
Well, you know, I guess on the basis that Joss Butler sold his or auctioned his sweaty World Cup final shirt off for 66 grand the other day. Albeit for the NHS and a fine cause, I think if Bear had managed to get his paws on that medal, well, it could have solved all of Gorilla Cricket's financial problems.
Well, it's selfish not to commit the crime, really.
I think so. I think so.
He would have had some difficulty when it comes to the provenance of said item. I think it might have only been, you know, that might have dampened down the value slightly, because he couldn't have actually proved that it was given to him in a drunken stupor by Mr. Archer later on that night.
I heard he planted it in his spare room earlier today.
Yeah.
If only we knew where to look.
A replica.
All right. Well, I'm going to move on from Joffrey Archer. I'm going to tell you that I did do the thing that I told everyone to do, because I'm a good boy and I obey myself. my tweet of the day was Cricket Badger, who is sort of connected to one or two of us in a sort of very peripheral way, and I'm sure would come on the program if he was down in this neck of the woods, responded to the fact that there is a particular other podcast recently produced, saying, "I'd rather punch myself in the face than listen to a Harry Gurney podcast." can we all be agreed on that?
I thought you wanted us to replace Harry Gurney's name with somebody else's.
Well, that might be enough. That might be a good game, actually. But there's too many of those, I would imagine.
Well, especially since we're the alternative Gorilla Cricket podcast. You know, we don't want to slag off the official Gorilla Cricket podcast, do we?
I think we should put this out under an assumed name. And maybe it's a bit, you know, it's a bit like, you know, you two playing in a pub or, you know, one of those big bands.
Oh,
just do it very quietly.
I think the visuals are an integral part of this, don't you not think?
Well, I think certainly with my varied eyewear, very I think vocal. that would be. I don't have very 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 focals, therefore I have to have three different pairs. Because when I look at my sheet in front of me, and then I look at you, obviously if I, you know, I have to keep switching them around. And it's
beer goggles for me. You remember beer goggles?
Oh, beer goggles. Yeah, beer goggles. Hang on, where are they? I think I may have put them down somewhere.
Get your sheet together, Hendo.
The other thing, of course, you get with what you get with having the visuals, as you can see, my late deceased, not late podcast, late cat on the wall behind me.
What was said cat's name?
Said the cat's name was Barry.
Oh, that's a
it's not a very cat name, is it?
Well, it was, especially because she was a girl.
Oh dear!
I love
yeah, we didn't know.
People's names for cat. I didn't know that you had a Barry. I like to think that Douglas, our cat, is very much in that vein.
Douglas, cracking name, Douglas. It has to be said.
Send us a picture over of your dead cat, and I'll see if Douglas likes the look of her.
it's a bit late for him, unless he's into weird stuff.
Cat blind dead date here on the Alternative Green Gorilla Cricket
Podcast.
Turning
ones into twos since 2015.
Dead cat bounce. What was dead cat bounce? Was that some sort of film or was that a book? I can't remember now. Or was that just a phrase?
No, it's just old people trying to remember things.
Oh, okay. So, well, there is that problem. Maybe when we get to that point, we should just, I don't know. You know how in Monty Python, they just used to go, and they cut across something, wouldn't they?
A large foot would come down and stomp
That's
on everything.
Right. Whose foot? Well, I suppose we need the bear's foot, really, don't we?
I would not want the bear's foot stomping down on me.
Well, possibly not.
Have you got more of that tweet, Hendo? Was that it?
That was it. I just wondered whether we might get into a serious discussion about how much we find Harry Gurney annoying. I mean, I know if Annie was here, she would be leaping on it, but do you find him a bit of a pest?
I would say that most sportsmen look at their sport through the prism of what they do and what they do or what they think they do well. If you ever had the good fortune to listen to Brian Marwood's commentaries on football about 20 years ago, he would just keep telling them to get it wide because that's what he did. He sat on the touchline and he wanted the ball. So a lot of sportsmen, when they start talking about their sport, just look at it through what, you know, how it would affect them or how it is affecting them. And Harry Gurney, like a lot of bowlers, would like to get a lot of money for doing as little work as possible. Instead of having to bowl 22 overs into the wind in a day of county championship, you know, if you have to bowl 3.5 overs in the 100 or whatever it is, thank you very much. Good money. And I'm off sticking my feet up after my 20 minute ice bath. So it's a bit harsh to have a go at cricketers for not looking at the perspective of cricket in general.
That's incredibly even handed of you. I mean, what on earth's going on? Has something happened to you during lockdown?
Well, you know, I'm actually I'm well known for my fair-handedness. And what I would say is, it's okay for him to think like that, but all sensible people should think otherwise. People with the game's interest at heart. Well, this is getting a bit serious. Can we talk about people whose wigs fallen off and things like that?
Well, talking of that, I suppose what we should do is we should trail the new great guerrilla cricket competition that's coming up very shortly.
Ooh, yes.
That means when we've all got ourselves into gear and worked out a schedule, one or two people have been privy to some run-throughs. And, of course, this is the Dick Weller Broad Owsat Trophy. Owsat Trophy. You got to say it like that. Owsat.
Owsat.
Owsat. Or Owsie. Because we are going to have, over the next few weeks, 15 games of Owsat cricket. And if people don't know what Owsat cricket is, it's a dice game. And we've got some fantastic teams to take part. And each of the gorillas, or not each of the gorillas, but those gorillas that are taking part, have a team of their own. Grubby has the Hair Weave 11. I think Fred has got the
How the fuck did these lot play for England 11?
That 11.
Yep.
And I've got the Fat Boys 11. No comment, I hope. We've also got the Beardy 11. Roger's going to take control of that. We've got the Bespectacled 11, which is being controlled by Tony Bishop. Nakhlen Pandey has got the One Test Wonders. Now, he confused me about this because I thought One Test Wonders, you know, we tend to think, oh, we only played one test and he was rubbish and blah, blah, blah. But this is One Test Wonders with a difference. This is real One Test Wonders, as in ones that have done well in their one test. And that's a little bit different, isn't it?
Oh, was that fellow who hit 100 for the West Indies and never played again?
That's the one. That's the one that no one can pronounce.
Is he the captain?
Yeah.
No, Andy Gantome, it was, I believe. He died a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Yep, that's the one. And the other one is the Ginger 11, which I was looking around through the team and I thought, who's he got a wicketkeeper? And it had Johnny Bairstow down. But there you go.
And they still haven't got a wicketkeeper.
Yeah. And then you ask the question again.
Hey. So I just want to say that's a trail for what's coming up. If you watch our social media and various channels, you will find that we will be
playing. It's tremendously exciting considering it's the bear, a little piece of lead, and a soup bowl.
Yes, yes, but it's incredible. I mean, the other day.
Don't big it up too much, Fred.
The other day, and I've never seen this done in Owsat, I've never seen this happen in Owsat. Shane Warne was bowling to Ian Botham and Rakeem Cornwall.
Oh, let me guess. What
and happened? No, okay. You'll be wrong. Whatever you
what, guess, were there six be threes in an over?
Yes! Oh, you watched it, you bastard.
That slightly reminded me. Reminded me of when I got drafted into the firsts of my team for an emergency. I would never have fitted into the firsts in that club under any circumstances. But I was a little bit older as well, and for some reason I was batting quite high, and I had a really good batsman at the other end, and his first ball, he's laced it through the covers quite nicely. It's not going to get the boundary, and he's going, come on, two. I go, all right, set off for two. And then the throw comes in, it misses the stumps. And then we had to do an all-run four, the first ball having got out there. And, of course, none of those runs were mine. I'm saying it's not him. And for the next 5 minutes, I was just going, no, I'll be all right. You know, just you stay there. You say, just hit some boundaries. I couldn't actually breathe. How your fat 11 managed to run six threes in an over is a mystery that will have to remain, I don't know. Who was it? Botham and Cornwall?
Botham and Rakeem Cornwall, yeah, absolutely. And
it's a long way round as well because you have to run round each other to get to
the same. Did they both have runners?
It's like 25 yards.
Did they both have runners?
Ah, no, they didn't, but that might be something.
Oh, they couldn't both have runners?
No.
Or could they?
The other thing I have to say is that not only was Botham, unquestionably, although in the run through, the Fat Boys ended up on the wrong side of the result. Some dubious not outs, it has to be said. Ian Botham managed to score 92 and take 6 for 33. No, 133. Sorry, 6 for 133.
Yeah.
Off six overs.
I remember when I played Owsat as a kid, we tweaked it somehow so that it was slightly more
realistic
in terms of run rate rather than sort of 18s and over. I can't remember how we did it, but somewhere at the back of a box, I do have some old scorecards from about 1982. If I can ever dig those out, they might make interesting viewing.
Look, there's my particular box.
I've got the little tin one. The tin one. Not on me.
Yeah, I think there's a little tin in here.
It looks like a box of snuff or something.
Yes,
look about it.
Yeah. As it should.
Chewing exactly. Tobacco.
So you could. I understand that public school boys in days gone by would fashion their own equipment. So you get one of those, you know, hexagonoid shaped pencils.
Yeah.
And each, right. And each, you know what I mean? And each, yeah. each face of that would be an event. So you could choose your own, effectively. So if you thought the runway was too fast, you just make one of them a dot ball or a couple of them a dot ball. You know, that's,
well, I used to do that, actually. I used to play with ordinary dice. I had a game that I developed for myself and used to play while sitting under the table, ignored by the rest of the family. where basically I decided that the six could either be out or a six. And it was depending on my mood. Depending on my mood, you know, if it was six, oh, he's out, you know. And,
I'm afraid that is rather, there's room for getting the ethics committee involved there, because if you decide whether it's a six or whether it's not a six, you know, then
But I was only playing against
the integrity of the game. I mean, if you were playing Omar Akmal,
can I make a plea for a section of the show called non-cricket related hilarity?
Yes, of course.
So this will please my missus as well. This isn't anything new, but then. When's that ever stopped us? I don't know if you've ever come across anything, something called customer support.
God!
I think it's been on. This is a person who has made his Facebook name customer support, and he goes on complaining, and then he goes on there with these sorts of calls. So I'll give you an example. So someone has gone on to the Shoe Zone, Facebook page, and said. I've bought a pair of shoes from your Kirkgate Bradford store, only to discover when I got home that there was a missing shoe. And there was only one shoe in the box. How is this even possible? I called the store and they questioned why I didn't notice in the shop. The assistant got me a pair from the back and took them straight to the till. So why would I check? The store are refusing to do anything about this and have acted as if I'm trying to scam them. I want refunding immediately. So then customer support comes on and says, did your car turn into a pumpkin too? And then the person comes back and says, aren't you the comedian? I can't believe the attitude of this company. And I will take this complaint to the top, if I have to see who's laughing then. And then customer support comes back. Calm down, Cinders. We've had a sighting of your shoe. Apparently Prince Charming is walking around Bradford City Centre with a can of special brew in one hand and your shoe in the other, whilst calling out your name. If you hurry, you might catch him. Let's see how funny you think you are when I report it to your head office. They close at six, so you better hop to it. So, I mean, there's an enormous amount of fun to be had. I'll give you one more. Because this really made me laugh. And this is particularly for my Mrs. Emma, who was in tears having read about 20 of these on the trot. And she read me this one out. So this is someone who's been into Tesco. The freezers in Tesco in Loughborough were broke again. It keeps happening when it's hot. Why do you not distribute existing stock in the working fridges instead of hiding them away? I spent ages looking for fish fingers in the working freezers, but no fish products at all were to be seen. I eventually found a shop worker who then disappeared to find out where the fish fingers were, but didn't come back. I then found someone else who disappeared for 10 minutes, then returned, saying he'd found me a box of fish fingers in the back. It was a very frustrating, drawn-out experience. Customer support comes on. The new Finding Nemo film sounds shit.
Hey!
Well, the funniest thing I've seen this week is actually from Grubby's domestic situation, where there seems to have been some things broken and or spilt in the Grubby household, which has led to a wonderful letter written by... how old is your eldest?
10.
10. He's got 10. Good handwriting for 10, and you know, top quality syntax. And particularly, I was impressed with the punctuation. Those quotation marks were wonderful.
Yeah, and this is the letter in question. It reads as follows: Dear Mum, we are very sorry that we, in inverted commas, spilt the gin and, in inverted commas, broke the printer. You presume we spilt the gin. But I can assure you that we did not, capitals those last bits. You might have spilt the gin without knowing it by accident.
That's true.
In caps. We love you very much, Bertie and Freddie. XOXO. All of that on mischief managed notepaper. Yeah.
I think the official reaction to that is, oh, bless.
I don't know where they got those conniving ways from.
So well, I hope that the Grubby household is getting back to normal, and the gin has found its way back into the bottle, and the printer's working again. And we should perhaps bring this star-studded evening.
Should we adjourn?
Till next time. Maybe we'll have some other guests as well. I don't know.
I suppose. We might invite a few people.
Like true gorillas, we have to, you know, we have to hide, and we have to do it when nobody's expecting us. You know,
exactly.
We have to leak it out into the world.
Well, we need to get out quite quickly because it'll go out of date, won't it? I mean, you know, we've been talking about so many things.
From the 70s, yeah.
From the 70s, yeah, absolutely. So, yes. I don't know. I'm sort of curious. Should we put this out as a visual podcast, a vodcast? a vodcast.
If people wish to see us, I think our public need to be satisfied.
Well,
for
once, in many ways. I am particularly taken by your neck curtains, Fred.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, tremendous neck curtains. I don't like neck curtains, actually.
You don't?
No, I would never have neck curtains of my own.
Do you give them any dead cat pictures?
No, true, true. That's very true. Neck curtains and conservatories, those are the things that keep me up at night. But until another night when we three and maybe others would care to join us, we should say our farewell, should we not? All right, well, that's been it. If you liked it, our name is Guerrilla Cricket. If you didn't like it, our name is, what do they used to say in
Test Pantomime, Match Special.
Test Match Special, that's the one, yeah. Yes, of course it is. Anyway, watch out for our exciting foray into dice cricket later this week. And also, we're hoping to get a quiz up and running fairly soon too. But in the meantime, there are fabulous podcasts done by serious people like Knackle and Tony. And we'll be back for a bit of fun and frolics probably around the same time next week.
So long.
Hello.
Cheerio then.
Oh, so that was the innings of Brendan McCullum. Scores lots of fours because he don't like to run them. And here we are waving Brendan McCullum goodbye. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Network.